just Kenya, or much of the rest of Africa for that matter. It's not so great to be gay in Russia either, especially with the new law against so-called gay propaganda. Some gay Russians are thinking about leaving the country. Reporter Emma Jacobs of WHYY has the story of one man who did just that and made his way to the U.S.
The trip took him from Russia to Cuba and on to Mexico, where he used Google Maps to find the best spot to cross the Rio Grande. Once he reached U.S. soil, he spotted a mounted camera and walked towards it.
I went over there and I asked them, is this the United States? They said yes. So at that point I said, I'm here to seek political asylum.
The asylum seeker, speaking through an interpreter, also asked that we not use his real name. He doesn't speak English. He still lives in the Russian community in Philadelphia and doesn't feel safe being publicly out. His legal team refers to him as SR, and they showed how SR experienced random harassment and attacks in public, something Human Rights Watch believe escalated last year. Joe Catuzzi, a law student at Villanova University outside Philadelphia, helped SR with his asylum case. He says that while Russia decriminalized homosexuality in 1993, new anti-gay laws have still cropped up.
Starting around 2005, you had different regions in Russia starting to pass these anti-gay propaganda laws.
As SR puts it, these laws and an overall anti-gay crackdown made him afraid of going to prison.
After a while, a person can only be patient and withstand something so much until eventually you just decide, I need to leave and find a new life.
And while Russian police beat up participants in gay pride parades, SR was impressed by a video of New York's parade.
People were dressed up, and they weren't promoting any propaganda. They were just celebrating who they were and the fact that they were happy to be here.
He says he resorted to entering the U.S. illegally after he was denied a tourist visa. He spent his first 5 months in U.S. detention centers. One of those was in York, Pennsylvania. It's one of the biggest immigration detention centers on the East Coast. But there are no Russian interpreters there and no access to law books in Russian. With barely any English, SR struggled to prepare his asylum application by himself.
Honestly, my biggest fear was that I would get deported. That's what was always on my mind when I went to sleep and when I woke up.
When a pair of law students from Villanova University, recruited by a nonprofit, first met SR, he had a black eye. He'd been beaten up by another detainee. The students helped him prepare 700 pages of supporting materials for his case. SR got asylum and left the detention facility in November. Catuzzi, the law student, remembers seeing SR walk out of the center that day wearing the same shorts and sandals he had on when he crossed the border.
We went in the car, turned up the heat because it was pretty cold that day. And then as we were driving, the first stop we saw was a Walmart, and we thought, let's go in and do what we can and get some stuff together.
Today, SR has 1 month of English classes under his belt. He's looking for a job and getting his footing in his new neighborhood.
Being around Russians, I still feel a little sensitive about my past. Just walking into a Russian grocery store, you feel a little hesitant to talk to them. As opposed to walking into an American grocery store, you feel completely fine.
Spending his first months in jail has not dampened his enthusiasm to be in the United States.
Recently, I decided to explore the city a little bit. So I got on the subway and I went to the main city, and I kind of got lost a little bit in some areas I wasn't familiar with. I didn't plan on being there, but in general, being free was just great.
He may have more company in the U.S. soon. Asylum applications from Russia were up 16% last year. Organizations that work with immigrants say, anecdotally, a growing number of these immigrants are fleeing the anti-gay policies. For The World, I'm Emma Jacobs, Philadelphia.